Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield and it's great to have you with us. This is Monday of Thanksgiving week and what a great week for us to be talking about God's Word and talking about some of the themes that Derek is going to be teaching us about. I love the teaching we're going to be hearing today because Derek is teaching about seeing ourselves as part of a whole. Now, this is going to challenge in this Thanksgiving week our American individualism. It's really part of a larger series that Derek is teaching on what is a patriot. And the beginning of true patriotism, and I'll let Derek define that, is the idea that we're not just a law unto ourselves, we're not just individuals living on the planet, but that we're part of a larger whole. It's such a critical study and topic and theme for we Americans who are just very individualistic, very materialistic in our approach. And so as Derek teaches today, he's going to be redefining what is patriotism and how do we think of ourselves as part of a larger whole. You know, ever since 9/11 in America, we've known the value of coming together as a people. We've known the value of seeing ourselves as part of a body, as a nation. And I think that Derek is going to challenge us in this. It fascinates me that Derek, who comes from England, is a man who is best able to challenge us in some of this and to bring these truths to us. Well, let's get right to it because this is such a valuable teaching in this Thanksgiving week. Let's let Derek Prince teach us about what a patriot truly is.
What is a patriot? In my approach to this question, I need to establish a basic principle of great importance, but one which today is frequently neglected or misunderstood. The principle that I have in mind is seeing ourselves as part of a whole. One conspicuous feature of our contemporary culture, and especially in America, but also in most of what is called the, quote, civilized world, is excessive individualism. People have grown up and even been trained by various types of philosophy that are prevalent today to look at themselves simply as individuals. Everything in this philosophy and approach to life revolves around me. My approach to a situation is, what will I get out of this? What will this do for me? I see myself in some way, according to this view, detached from the people around about me. I am, as it were, a little island floating in a great sea. You've probably heard that statement somewhere. No man is an island. And that really is true. That's a false view of life in which you see yourself as detached from people around about you, as being, as it were, the center of everything, in which you see yourself as everything else revolving around you, and things only matter insofar as they affect you and what they will do for you. The Bible presents this truth in various ways. I'd like to give you just two quotations, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The first quotation is from the book of Psalms. Psalm 68, verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. Alternative translation, which I think is more appropriate to our present theme, God sets the desolate in a homeland. In other words, God takes individuals, and he does not leave them simply as detached, isolated individuals. He puts them in a setting of other human beings. The setting may be a family, or it may be the larger setting of a homeland. But whatever the setting may be, the individual is not complete, according to God's purposes, detached from the community in which God has placed him. And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, Paul says, "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." In other words, our life affects others. This is true from the moment we're born to the moment we die. Whether we wish or not, we are continually influencing other people. and having an impact on other people. And we cannot detach ourselves from that responsibility. Especially this is true of Christians. You see, Christianity as a religion centers in right relationships. Christianity is not primarily a matter of right doctrine, although that's important. But more important still is right relationships in two directions, vertical and horizontal. Vertical toward God, horizontal toward our fellow human beings. This is so beautifully typified by the emblem of the Christian faith, the cross, with its two beams, vertical and horizontal. The vertical beam typifying our relationship to God, the horizontal typifying our relationship to our fellow human beings. And it's a matter of physics that if one beam is out of line, the other is also out of line. We cannot be right with God if we are wrong with our fellow human beings. So achieving right relationships is an art that we all need to cultivate. And believe me, it doesn't just happen. It has to be cultivated. I want to apply this principle of right relationships to our relationships within a nation. That's really the issue of patriotism. How do we relate to the nation in which we have been placed? And again, I want to take two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. I want to begin with the pattern of God's dealings with Abraham. I want to share with you again the blessing that God promised Abraham if he would obey the Lord. And I want you to see that this blessing centered not just around Abraham as an individual, but it involved a whole nation. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, this is what we read. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." You see that God's purpose for Abraham didn't center in him as an individual. He took him as an individual. He took him out of one setting. But his purpose was to place him in another setting, to make him the father of a great nation. And this God viewed as a great blessing. And then in the New Testament, in Acts 17:26, Paul is speaking to the men of Athens. And he makes this statement, which is a very remarkable statement. "From one man he, that is God, made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them, and the exact places where they should live." That's a very far-reaching statement in its implications. God has ordained all nations. He's ordained the area allotted to every nation. He's ordained the times in which nations will live in those areas. And that includes us. It's no accident which nation we belong to. We're part of a plan, a divine plan that embraces all nations. And we can never really fulfill God's plan for us as individuals until we find and take our right place in the nation in which God has ordained that we should live. This is my suggested definition of a patriot, and I want you to consider it and consider its implications. A patriot is one who fulfills his allotted role in the nation in which God has placed him. See, we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to see that our lives and our destiny are in the hand of Almighty God. And the nation to which you belong, or the nation to which I belong, is not an accident. And really, it is not primarily a matter of our own individual choice. It's a decision of Almighty God. And we can only be the kind of people that we ought to be as we fulfill our allotted role in the nation in which God has placed us.
Don't you love the idea that God sets the desolate or the lonely in homelands? And also that other scripture in Romans 14 that says, "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." What a great challenge in this week of Thanksgiving. There's so much more ahead as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Each day's news brings us a stream of growing threats to our nation's future. Threats of terrorism on an unprecedented scale, a rising tide of hostility to traditional biblical values, anti-Semitism spreading like a cancer, moral decay, and family disintegration. You may wonder, is there hope for America? The answer is a resounding yes.
Yes.
In his inspiring DVD, God's Heart for America, Derek Prince uses prophetic insight and his unique vantage point as an immigrant to offer spirit-led words of both encouragement and warning. In the process, he reveals the vital role you play in the destiny of a great nation. To order your copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95, call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Watch this insightful DVD to be encouraged and forewarned, because the future of America lies squarely in your hands. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I'm delighted that you've joined us for this special broadcast today in this Thanksgiving week. Derek Prince is teaching us what it really means to be a patriot, challenging some of our individualism. It's so powerful. Let's listen now as we hear what a patriot really is.
I'm going to speak about being relatable, being the kind of person that other persons can relate to, and that can relate to other persons. Now, I've lived quite a long while, and I've lived with a lot of different people. I am the head of a very large family. I and my first wife had 9 adopted daughters. My second wife gave me 3 more children, so I'm responsible as the head of a house for 12 children. I have, I don't know how many grandchildren, probably something like 40, and a good number of great-grandchildren. So I'm not speaking out of theory. I myself was an only child. I had no brothers or sisters. And so when I came in, by God's providence, into this very large family setting, I had to learn a lot about being relatable. I was very much a person used to going my own way, doing my own thing, thinking my own thoughts. I was used to getting off on my own and just, you know, being myself. And I think God chose this particular way of dealing with this aspect of my character. I don't think I was a very relatable person, because I didn't see the importance of human relationships. But believe me, over the years, sometimes the hard way and sometimes the not so hard way, I've learned a good deal about this concept of being relatable. And so I want to speak for a little while today on what this means, particularly for us as members of this nation, the United States of America. I want to point out to you one very interesting and important feature of the United States and its history and origin, which I believe to be unique. And I want to introduce it this way by telling you what the Hebrew name, the name in modern Hebrew, is for the United States. In the Hebrew language, it's Aratzot HaBrit. That means lands of the covenant. Now, Hebrew is perfectly capable of saying the United States, but it doesn't. Its particular name for this nation is Lands of the Covenant. What does that mean? It represents real discernment into the significance of the history of the United States. That this nation, I think alone of all modern nations, is based on a covenant, which we call the Constitution. It's an agreement between a number of states as to how they would live and function together as a single nation. I don't want to go into the history of it. I'm sure you're familiar with that much. Now, what I want to point out is that having a covenant requires a certain kind of people. Only people of a certain kind can live in covenant relationship and make a covenant function. I believe the founding fathers of the United States clearly recognized this in many of their statements. You'll find that they said something to the effect, it takes a certain kind of person to make this thing work. And basically, they all assumed a certain background, which I would call the Judeo-Christian ethic. That is the ethic
that is based on the Bible, Old Testament and New, based on the Ten Commandments, based on an acknowledgement of God, on an acknowledgement that there's a divine law, that there are moral and spiritual principles that function with nations as with individuals. And you see, it's like having a blueprint from an excellent architect, which is what I consider the American Constitution to be. It's wonderful to have this blueprint, but bear in mind that no matter how good the blueprint is, you cannot build the building that the blueprint outlines unless you have the material that the building demands. In other words, the American Constitution requires certain kinds of people to make it operate. And one of the big problems of the United States today is a lot of people still want the covenant, but they don't want to be covenant men and women. They don't want to be relatable in the sense that I'm talking about. Now, there's a very practical question that arises out of what I've been saying. What kind of person is a relatable person? What do we have to be like in order to be the kind of people that will make this covenant, which is the Constitution, really function effectively? First of all, I want to say we need an ideal. Today, ideals tend to be scoffed at. We have no heroes. We have no ideals. We're cynical about everything and everybody. The implication is, just go your own way. Nobody's any better than you are. You don't have to live any higher than you feel like. I think that's a disaster. And I want to set before you briefly an ideal, which I believe is the ideal of being a relatable person. And I want to take it from Psalm 15. I won't have time to go into it in detail, but I want you to listen carefully. It begins with a question. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? And I believe that the kind of person that can relate to God is the kind of person that can relate also to men. Now, here's a list of things I want you to think about. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Now that's what I call a covenant man or a covenant woman. That's what it takes to be truly relatable. It's an ideal. We will not always live up to it. But the fact that we cannot always live up to it is no reason for abandoning the ideal. And I want you to see how much there is in this picture which deals with how we are in our relationship with our fellow men. It says, he who speaks the truth from his heart has no slander on his tongue. He does not speak evil of others. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow men. We do not attack our fellow men. We do not pull people down to lift ourselves up. He despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Notice, honor. That's a thing there's very little of in contemporary society. We've almost forgotten how it is to honor the people that should be honored. And then it says, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. He can be relied on to do what he's committed himself to do. And then he doesn't lend his money on usury. He's fair and upright and generous in his financial dealings. I believe that's what it is to be relatable. Let me suggest that you take time to read Psalm 15 on your own and check on how near you are to that ideal.
You know, it sounds to me like Derek is saying that really being a patriot is fulfilling your destiny, being what you're made to be, where you're made to be it. I sure want to explore this some more as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
On more than one occasion, Derek expressed his strong desire that this ministry continue and grow beyond his homegoing, right up until the return of our Lord. Few things meant more to him than the knowledge that the truths he spent his life proclaiming would continue to be proclaimed among the nations. He poured himself out to reach the unreached, to teach the untaught, and to see God's people grow to maturity in the world. And so will we. At Derek Prince Ministries, we're honoring Derek's life and his wishes by carrying on. And as a dear friend of this ministry, we're hoping you will do the same. Why? Because the truth is, the passing of Derek Prince didn't mark an end for Derek Prince Ministries. It marked a new beginning. But to succeed, we will need your help. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261.
or visit our secure website at derekprince.org. Please make the most generous gift you can, and be assured your gifts will be used prayerfully and prudently. To keep the teaching of Derek Prince coming to you and others, call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us on the web at derekprince.org.
God is faithful. The Bible is to be trusted. I haven't put my faith in something that's unreal and insubstantial. I've put my faith in something that will stand every test. The faithfulness of God, the love of God, and the truth of Scripture.
Thank you for standing with us.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. And if you've been with us in the show thus far, you know that Derek Prince has been talking to us about the true definition of a patriot, and especially in the value in seeing ourselves as part of a whole. I want to read a quote from Derek's teaching. The specific words that he used are so powerful. He said, "God did not create us to be alone in this earth, but rather he created us to have relationships with him and with people. He also has placed us strategically in the nation in which we live for such a time as this. And a true patriot is a person who fulfills his or her God-ordained role." You know, we have to understand ourselves in a different light when we become Christians. Even if we've lived in the world before being Christians, as in an aimless way, driven by our lust, driven by our desires, bound to sin, the fact is that when we become believers, we understand from the Word of God that we have been made with a destiny, that God fashioned us in the womb according to a plan for our lives He set before we were even conceived. And then, once we were born, the days of our lives were numbered, and that God was in the process of trying to take hold of us so that we could fulfill His purposes for our lives. You know, the beginning of patriotism, as Derek is teaching us, is to recognize that there is a destiny in our lives, that we are where we are, and we are who we are at God's plan and according to God's purpose. I'm constantly trying to get Americans to understand that if we are in America, this is part of the destiny that God has set for our lives. And given the glorious heritage of faith that we've been learning about from Derek in the last weeks, surely this should be something that flows down to us, that inspires us, that we want to see almost as a gauntlet thrown down, a challenge to our generation. We are living in an amazingly important time, a time when huge events are on the move in the world, and we need to understand ourselves not just as individuals living in America and on a planet trying to survive until the second coming of Jesus. We certainly want to be purified by the hope of His appearing, but we also want to understand that we are supposed to occupy until He comes, that we are living in a country where we are called to walk in the way of the fathers, which is really the true meaning of the Latin word patriot, the way of the fathers, and to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. How are you living out your destiny in terms of the nation where God has placed you? How are you living in a way so as to have an impact in this generation? You know, when Jesus comes back, I want Him to find us busy. I want Him to find us occupying until He comes. I want us to be able to say and give an account to Him and say, we did what we did to raise up the age-old foundations and to restore righteousness in the land. Make this your prayer and make this your objective in this Thanksgiving week. It's wonderful having you with us. If you've missed any of our teachings of the last weeks, or if you're going to miss anything this week, then just log on to the website at derekprince.org. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Be sure to join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Derek's DVD, God's Heart for America, for only $9.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Thank you for your faithful financial support. It's because of friends like you that Derek Prince Legacy Radio is on the air. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or, in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And, of course, you can give your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.